Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2:5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell you?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah. They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sin.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
All right, you're gonna learn today.
keepeth thee will not slumber.
All right. Hello. Shalom. Hopefully right now we're being heard. Okay, as that comes in. Hopefully right now we are being heard. Thank you, Becky. You are a godsend on when it comes to that. Thank you. Thank you for even texting. Let me know. Thank you. I can't say that enough times. Thank you. Again, welcome everybody to our show. You've reached another episode of Bible Talk. Hello. I sound very distant. Thank you once again, Becky, for texting me and let me know, and for listening to the show, and let me know that we were not broadcasting. It is appreciated. For those that are tuning in and listening in, again, thank y'all also. It really is appreciated. You reached Bible Talk. Thank you for tuning in. We try and produce We try to produce Bible Talk Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sometimes we go a little bit over. And they come back on Friday nights with the Brother Bonabod on Friday Night Bible Breakdowns. All right. In effort to help awaken the 144,000, which are the 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel, according to Revelation chapter 7. The reason, brothers and sisters, this is important, as we put scriptures together, from Revelation chapter 7, when 144,000 do get sealed, there are 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel. Then when we come back now and we jump to Revelation chapter 11, 12, and 13, that once the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel are sealed, and we understand from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 down, that in order to be sealed, you have to hear the word, you have to believe the word, and you have to trust in the word. That once that's accomplished with the 144,000 being 12,000 each tribe of the nation of Israel, that the Israelites have to hear the word. They have to believe in the word and have to trust in the word. And when we come back and look at Matthew chapter 24, Christ told his disciples, those that are listening to his word, that they're going to be tested. All right, that they're going to be tested. Their faith is going to be tried. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says, it's given in our behalf not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. All right. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 says that to confirm the souls of the disciples, and that they through much tribulation went into the kingdom of heaven. Again, the disciples, the students of Christ, there's going to be a severe trial of their faith. Do they really believe in the words of the Most High in Christ? That there's going to be a great persecution. When we come back and read Matthew chapter 24, Christ tells that in the last days, that how it's going to be before he comes back. He warns us that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilence in diverse places. There's going to be earthquakes and famines that are going to take place. He says, but that's only the beginning of sorrow. That after that time takes place, and we see that going on now, that then they're going to persecute the true believers in Christ. There's going to be a great persecution, like what the Romans did to the Jews during the time of Nero, like what the Jews did to the Christians during the time of Paul and the apostles and stuff. It's going to be a severe persecution against those who will keep the commandments of God. That goes back to Revelation chapter 12, verses 12 and verse 13, verse 17, that this last society, this last superpower, and understanding that it's over for them, They're going to do similar to what the Egyptians did when they understood that the Savior of the Israelites was going to be born. And the Egyptians were slaying all the male children of Israel, all right, in their effort to destroy the Savior. We see that Herod came back and did the same thing during the time of Christ, put a decree out to kill all the firstborn, the male firstborn from the age of two up or down, to kill them, all right, that in an effort to destroy the salvation, the Savior of the nation of Israel. That is going to be a similar process going on. There's going to be just an all-out attack and war and slander and imprisonment of those who are keeping commandments of God. They're going to be labeled as we're going to be labeled as terrorists. We're going to be labeled as anarchists. We're going to be labeled as people who are domestic terrorists because we're praying for a Savior to come. And it's understood that this Savior is going to be what the world would call a revolutionary. And that when a revolutionary is present, that it is to overthrow the present government. It's to overthrow the present hierarchy at that time. No different than America had a revolutionary war against England. There's going to be revolutions. There's going to have to be a change. So in that, there's going to be a persecution against the true believers of God. But that's their faith. Romans chapter 5 says, it tells us about the trial of our faith working patience, and patience working experience, and experience hope, not to be ashamed of. That, again, Acts chapter 14, verse 21, confirming the souls of the disciples, and that we through much tribulation enter, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is going to be a severe, it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 3. Paul talks about being comparable unto, in the house of God, being fine gold, precious jewels, or either being wood, hay, or stubble, that as you're building yourself up, that the trial, the fire is going to come, every man's work is going to be tried to see what work it is, to see what type of work you are. Is your faith the faith of gold? Is your faith the faith of precious jewels? Or is your faith the faith of wood, hay, or even just stubble? That as these trials, tribulations, persecutions, as they arise, and they're meant to test the person's faith, that the trial of your faith being precious, all right? Thinking that strange concerning the fire trial, 1 Peter chapter 4, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, that there's going to be a great persecution from the devil, from society, and they're going to be throwing people who believe in Christ in prison, in jail, like they did the apostles. And it was said, be thou faithful unto death, and the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall receive a crown of life. That these things are going to happen. So one of the purposes we do have for presenting Blog Talk, as well as the other formats and other schools that are teaching, trying to awaken the 144,000 to help them as the trials and tribulations that are coming and unavoidable, to see if a person really does believe in the Word of God. No different than the heroes of the Bible, the Israelite heroes of the Bible, from Abraham, I mean his faith tried. Does he believe in the words of God? Jacob, having his faith tried, that when he returned back from his on his way to Laban, and wound up getting his four wives, was he going to believe the words of God on his journey there? For the trials and tribulations that Jacob went through under his uncle Laban, was he going to keep believing in the words of God? Upon his return back to Canaan, back to his father Isaac, and knowing he was going to face Esau. And a possibility of having to face Esau's torment and wrath and anger, was he going to believe the words of God? David, being anointed king, was he going to believe that he was anointed king by Samuel and by God through the things he had to suffer and go through and endure with Saul chasing him for over 20 years? Was he going to keep his faith? in the Word of God. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the book of Daniel, during the time of the Babylonians. The prophet Jeremiah, for all that he suffered at the hands of Israel king and princes. Was he going to believe in the words of God? The prophet Isaiah, Job, are the things that we suffer, the things that we go through, are we going to continue to believe in the word of God until our faith is proven that, yes, we do believe in the word of God, not just in word and in tongue, but in spirit and in truth? St. John chapter 4, verse 23, verse 24, that God is the spirit. And those that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. For God thinketh such to worship him. That what are we willing to go, what is the person going to go through to prove that God is worth the struggle? What is the person going to go through to prove that whatever agony, like what Christ went through, whatever trials, tribulation they got to go through to prove their love to God and keeping his commandments and keeping his word and keeping his way, what is a person willing to go through to prove themselves to God? And that number is 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel. So an effort to help seal, to help strengthen a person's faith. We understand and know that once that's done, yes, we do need to wake up to 144,000, no doubt, of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel from Revelation chapter 7, like I was saying. But one of the benefits of that is that once this last empire is brought down, no different than when ancient Egypt was brought down and as the superpower of the world of that time. Even though Egypt was destroyed and brought down, God didn't destroy the whole earth. Right? The whole earth was not destroyed. All right? That kingdom was brought down. That kingdom's rulership, government, hierarchy, education, whatever it stood for, that was brought down. That's going to be the same thing with Babylon the Great or spiritual Egypt, spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah at this time as well. But when that happens, when we go to Isaiah chapter 14, I'll start at verse 1 for here. Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 1. And it says, Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 1, it says, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. That the Lord is going to reestablish Jacob as the ruling government underneath him on the planet Earth. And going with Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's prayer that we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we're praying for God's rulership, God's law, to be the law of the whole entire planet. All right? And God is going to have mercy on Jacob. And he's going to yet still choose the nation of Israel, the Israelites, and he's going to set the Israelites back in their own land, the land of Israel. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and the nations are going to be joined with us in the promised land. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, that the house of Jacob is going to be the rulership, the ruling nation on the planet Earth using God's law. All right, verse 2. Is there going to be any man-made laws like whatever constitutions or congresses or senates or house of representatives or emperors, prime ministers that are established now, that's not going to be the way of things when Christ actually does return. Verse 2, and the people shall take them. Talk about the Israelites are going to take the strangers and bring them to their place. And the Israelites, I ain't going to say myself, and the Israelites are going to bring the strangers to where they're at, to where the Israelites are going to be at. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. Now, we know that this hasn't happened yet, brothers and sisters, that this prophecy is not taking place. So it must be a future prophecy of what's going to take place once Christ does return. All right? And don't get it twisted. We've done classes over the difference between being a servant and a slave. The so-called white man here in America had slaves. He made the so-called Negroes, Native Americans,
it made them slaves. We're reading the Bible, the Israelites and the Hebrews had servants to where, and the servants were treated so well that many servants did not want to go back. They did not want their freedom. That they were treated so well under God's law, under God's authority as being servants, that it was better, you know, as opposed to what people say, it's better to serve in hell than they say better to rule in hell than serving in captivity. No, that's not the so-called white man, how he does things. To come back and be a servant to the Israelites, there's laws about how the servants have to be treated, which the so-called white man, even though he claims in God we trust, and once they claim and have all their leaders, all their presidents, governors, swearing on the Bible, completely throw the Bible away, and have established over 30,000 of their own laws to rule this land, to rule their government, to rule to keep control of what they have going on. It's not going to be that way once Christ returns and sets order back up in this earth. Reading on, verse 3, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Talk about the Israelites. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. Now, this is going to be the king of Babylon, again referring to Revelations, Babylon the Great, all right, or spiritual Egypt or spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah, which is other biblical titles for America. Since we can't find the word America in the Bible, that how these places are described describes America to the T, all right? Verse 5, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 5. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. So the Lord is going to break the staff of the wicked. That this ain't going to be no where a president gets impeached twice and is able to come back and run for office again. Hell no. Again, where a person will be sworn in on the Bible, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? You swear in on the Bible, then they put the Bible down and pull out their own state constitutions or federal constitutions. And again, remember, the federal government, since its inception, has passed over 30,000 laws. I'm going to hit on that. The federal government, since its inception in about 1780-something, has passed over 30,000 laws to where people can find loopholes and be as wicked as they want to be because they find a loophole. It says the Lord's going to break the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. They're not going to be in rulership no more. They're not going to be the kings, the governors, the legislatures, the senators, the representatives, the councilmen. That's coming to an end. All right? All of that's going to come to an end. Reading on. Verse 6. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. Verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Do you hear this right here, brother and sister? And this is probably going to get you. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 7. That it says the whole earth is going to be at rest. Once Christ and God come back and reestablish the law of God in the world, it says the whole earth is going to be at rest. And it's quiet. And they're going to break forth into singing. Check this out, verse 8. Yeah. The fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Nature is going to rejoice. Nature is going to rejoice once this last kingdom that's prophesied in the book of Daniel is finally brought down. It's finally going to be put down. And Christ's kingdom, let's get that real quick. Daniel chapter 7. When we read Daniel chapter 7, and I'll start verse 21. Daniel chapter 7, verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And we understand this to be the the last of the Roman Empire, which is America. Okay? It says, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. That just like in Acts chapter 1, where the apostles asked Christ, right before he ascended back to the Father, they said, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, no, there's still a lot of prophecy that got to take place. That, yes, the kingdom is going to be restored back to Israel, but there's still a lot of prophecy that need to take place. All right? Continue on with Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. And we can look and see where America, the way America is government, has ruled with capitalism and democracy, whereas every other government before it was ruled by a dictatorship, was ruled by and not just America, but all the way back to the Greek, to the Romans, really. And the Romans ruled by a Senate, whereas every other nation before the so-called white man came into power was ruled by a king, an emperor, a dictatorship. When the so-called white man came into power, that was one thing that was different from any other nation's rulership on the planet Earth. So in Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, it says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And we can see that taking place. We know that America is responsible for that. Medicinal greenbacks are used to buy and sell all oil on the planet Earth. That America's got its hand in everybody's cookie jar on the planet Earth. If they want to buy or sell or in oil, they have to use the American dollar. Right? They have to use the American dollar over the whole entire planet or Earth. You know, the word planet is not in the Bible. Over the whole entire Earth. All right, verse 24, Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from all the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and swear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, as we just came out of the daylight savings time. And it shall be given into his hand unto a time and times and dividing a time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the nature in my heart. So this is what we're praying for. And again, this is the purpose for our contribution to try to help awaken, try to help strengthen people's faith as it's been prophesied, what type of things we're going to be going through, to encourage, to exhort not only ourselves, but others to endure, that we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. There's no getting around that, brothers and sisters. There's none. So gird up the loins of your mind. Let me get that real quick, and then we're going to move on. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me get it real quick. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. All right, First Peter, the one that God, Christ gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter exhorts us. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We're all going to be judged. We're all going to be judged by our faith, by our works. was our works, the things that we did, contingent on following God's law, on following God's judgments, on following God's opinions, determinations, and his way of doing things. Everyone's going to be tested. There's no getting out of that. There's no getting out of that. All right? So that, brothers and sisters, I took a little bit more time than I really wanted to because, again, of technical difficulties. Hopefully I'll be able to get at least a new phone. I'll take a flip phone if it'll help right now. But hopefully I can get this accomplished, you know, get a new phone so that I won't have these technical difficulties. I'm even using a mic that was purchased by the sister Sherrod and her husband Imad, and that's giving me problems, right? And that is giving me problems. So my apologies. I'm not here complaining or bitching or looking for pity. You hear me now? All right, again, thank you. Thank you, Becky. As I see your text, you can hear me now. So let me go ahead and take a quick break. Also, I need this as a transition to come from my old. No, we didn't do the prayers. Oh, my goodness. Please forgive. Please forgive. No, we got to get the prayers in. We got to get the prayers. And also acknowledge some of the schools. To the brothers here in San Antonio at the Sword of Truth, Shalom, shout out to y'all. To the brother Warner Iron, to brother Sanchuan, brother W.I., and to the crew here at the Sword of Truth. To our brothers in Houston at the Stream of Wisdom, the brother Quatazap, the brother Sathak, the brother Lakwarab, as they're handling and doing great works out there in Houston. To our brothers in Norfolk, to the brother Kazakia, the brother Bakar. Bakar, you doing a bruh. I'm seeing you all over social media right now. I'm seeing you from your YouTubes. I'm seeing your Facebook posts. I'm seeing the class that you're starting to hold down. Brother, great job. Keep it up out there in Norfolk. To the camp in Rochester, Brother Zion Allah, with the brother Shaquat. Brother, y'all are doing some big things. I see the community efforts you're putting in to reach out to the community. Even the recent or you got the chess tournament going on, and even what was it, the Israelite Media Corps or one of them that or something that went down in Rochester. It was a shooting that y'all were there. Y'all were actually there as reporters and giving scriptures. Brother, keep up the great work. You don't need me to say it. Damn, great job. Great job for our brothers out there in Rochester, New York. From my brothers up in Albuquerque, my brother Ice, holding it down with my brother Shakar, Ayal, Samak, who is Akhat. Y'all keep it up. Keep it going. Keep it going. Endure to the end. Endure unto the end. For my brothers up there in Dallas, to the brother Mike Allah and the brother Gabar Kawa, please keep it up. Please continue. To my family out in Florida, to my family, Gabar Yala and his wife Aisha, and my brother Sean Kodash and his wife Mariah. Y'all keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep on rising to the top. Give me all you got. Give me all you got. Ain't no half stepping. We're going to make this, y'all. We're going to make this, and we keep enduring. Keep our head in the book, all right? G's up, holds down, let the Bible lead. We're going to let the Bible continue to keep leading us through these trials, tribulations, and afflictions. We're going to keep letting the Bible lead us, all right? To my brother, I ain't done a shout-out for him in a while. To Brother Kawakab, I just still holding it down in Guatemala. Shalomak, I ain't got to tell you, continue, but I will. Keep it up, bro. Keep it up. I heard several schools are getting restored. Not only the continuing school here in San Antonio, the Sword of Truth, but I heard there's some brothers out there in California, brothers in Canada. I believe it's brothers in Kentucky. Keep it up. Bro. We got to get out of here. We have to get out of here. Let's go, y'all. Let's go. Let's do this. All right. So with that, here goes the list of prayers. We'll be names that we'll be compiling and sending out prayers for. And brothers and sisters, it's working. I'm not saying that it's just contingent on us sending out prayers, but prayers do work. All right. But more importantly, faith in the Most High does work. that even Christ, we can go back and read that Christ is one going around and just healing people for the heck of it. That a lot, when you go back and read some of the details, many times he said, "Let it be according to your faith." All right, that you got healed according to your faith. If you didn't believe he was Christ, you weren't getting healed. All right, so let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. So the Most High, in the name of Christ, please listen to us now, right now. Please send your Holy Spirit of mercy and peace to watch over, to bless, to heal, to strengthen, to help, to protect, to build up, and to deliver. Father, according to Numbers chapter 6, we ask that you might bless, that you might keep. Father, we ask that you might make your face to shine upon and be gracious unto. Father, we ask that you might lift up your countenance and give peace unto our sister Yapiah, the wife of our brother Ashar, and to her sister Arlene, to the sister Tina Gomez, the mother-in-law of our brother Abak Radaza, to our brother Abiyar, to our brother Awana Ayer and his wife Ayana, to the sister Naya, the wife of our brother Yawab and of his children, Salah and Shiloh. To our sister Ayana, to her brother Chad, to their father, and to Chad's son, Tammy. All right? To the sister Bobby Dixon, who is the mother-in-law of our brother Ariah. To the sister Sierra Leek, who is the daughter of our brother David. To our family, to our family, to our family. To Abba Tahawam and to Ama Waradiah. To our friends, Becky and Daryl and Carmen up there in Florida. I'm sorry, up there in Albuquerque. To the entire Lovett family, my in-laws, my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and all my nieces and nephews and niece-in-laws and nephew-in-laws. For the entire Lovett family, including Aunt Sally, including Ernestine Morris, including Charlie Westbrook, and including Edna Jackson. To the entire Coates family, including Robin, Robin's father and mother, to all the kids, Ben and Dahlia, to all, the entire Coates family, including Shapar, Roshwan, and Mariah, to the sister Gina Robinson, also up there in Dallas, to our brother Thawam, Mustawam Mayam, out there in Houston, and his wife, Shariah, and their son, Beniah. To our brother Wes Beverly, Thawam, here in San Antonio, one of the original founding members of the Sport of Truth here in San Antonio. To the special needs children, Father, to the daughter of our brother Tazafa and his wife Arakaya, their daughter Cece, to the daughter of our brother Gabar Kawa and her mother Anagasha, their daughter Aiza Lee, and to Banabad and his wife Kwadishaya, to their daughter Aliyah, to our brother Tazafa and his entire family, including his mother Miss Catherine, and to Miss Catherine's help as she's going through what she's going through, to Ms. Barbara and to her husband, Mr. Charles, to our brother and to our friend, Yenawadon, to the family, my family out there in Florida, to Gabaya Allah, to his wife, Aisha, to her mother, Ruthie Mae Johnson, and to their nieces and nephews, including Keontae and Rihanna, to my brother, Sean Kordash, and his wife, Mariah, their son, Kazakia, and all of their children, all of Sam's children and family. To our brother, LV, out there in Riverside, California, and to his mother, Pat Washington, and to his cousin, LaShonda Washington, to our sister, Kwadishaya, the wife of our brother, Bonabad, and to our brother, Bonabad, and to his children as they're getting ready to move. Continue prayers for our friends, Sean Stark and Sylvia Khan. Continue prayers, Father, for our brother, Yama, who is currently locked up in the Lubbock County Jail, and our brother, Kazakabar, who is locked up in the Arapahoe County Jail. Please be with him, Father, and help him achieve the spirit of patience and faith, Father. Please strengthen his faith as he's going through a severe trial, tribulation, and loneliness, Father. And to our sister, Ainawa, the daughter of our brother, Gabar Ya'ala, I'm sorry, Ya'alaba, forgive me, Ya'alaba, please be with her here in San Antonio as well, Father. And to our brother, Yahanada, here in San Antonio as well, and to his wife. I heard that right now that they were dealing with pneumonia or something like that. So, Father, we ask that you might be with them as well. And, Father, according to Numbers chapter 6, verse 27, it is stated that that they shall put your name upon the children of Israel, and you will bless them. So, Father, we offer these prayers as we try to emulate the example that you gave us in Jesus Christ, to esteem others and to pray for others and to put others first and not to think about ourselves, Father. So we ask again, Father, that in the name or in the way of Christ, that you might hear our prayers. And we thank you always. Thank you always. The water from Yah, Amen. All right, brothers and sisters. Cool. Got that together. Let me take this quick intermission. All right, let me take this quick intermission, and then we're going to come back and get into the class. Again, forgive me for another delay in getting class started. I didn't know we had technical difficulties for damn near 20 minutes that I was broadcasting, but there was no sound. So please forgive. I truly am working on trying to get a new phone and some podcast equipment. So please forgive. And with that, brothers and sisters, I'm going to take a quick intermission so I can reset my mind so we can come back into this class. All right? Here we go.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today. All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Hopefully I can be heard. I'm being heard. We are broadcasting. All right, brothers and sisters. And continue on with today's class. Continue on with today's class. This is episode 16. Episode 16 of Building Your House Upon a Rock, to Err from the Words of Knowledge. All right? The purpose of this series, brothers and sisters, if I can hopefully try and get this across, I'll come across with this. How do I say this? The purpose of this particular series that I'm going over, and quote unquote, all transparency, it was first put together in trying to bring attention to some of our youth, as far as our teenage girls in particular. This belief that a girl's or a woman, young woman's self-esteem should be based on her looks, on her outward appearance, as far as makeup, fingernail polish, even hair weaves and wigs, lipstick, all right? That these things are given to a young woman to give her self-esteem. And I am, as a father, I'm against makeup of any sort. I'm going to be honest. I don't like makeup on my wives. I don't like it. I don't like makeup on my daughter. And it's not just from a personal preference. It's from going back and understanding that these things were done, as far as makeup, it was done in the worship and the service of worshiping other gods. No different than birthdays and the birthday cake. Let me guess, I'm not broadcasting. I'm getting a notification about it, as I said, that from birthday cakes and anniversary cakes, this cakes period, the lighting of candles and the blowing of candles out, that the reason you have a cake with a candle on it, that goes back to the worship of the Queen of Heaven, which goes back to the worship of Ashtoreth, of Venus, of Astarte, of different moon goddesses, that the reason you have a cake is that, and you light the candle, the candles are to represent the illumination of the moon. And then you blow it out, like you might blow the like the moon goes through its phases. And that's why you offer up a wish. That's why for a birthday, you blow out a candle on your birthday and you offer up a wish. And if you blow up all the candles, your wish is supposed to be granted. That is pagan, but that's wrong. It's no different than the wearing of makeup and the wearing of ornaments. That was also done in the honor of pagan services, in the honor of pagan worship. But as I was doing the research and wanted to bring it and show this to two young people, I said, well, I just can't go and show where it's just about women, because I'm already accused of just attacking women. And not being sensitive or understanding the position of a woman. Cool. If that's an admonishing that I need to become aware of, because I'm not perfect. It's cool, I'll take that. But then I also was thinking, well, what about men? Right? Let me also come out and research about the things men do. And going into the research, this is what led me to and putting this class together, that where is our faith really built up at? Is it really built up on in the scriptures? Is it really built up on the history of the Bible? Do we understand some of the nuances and some of the things that was going on taking place? I mean, we're talking about in from 2024, most scholars place the exodus of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt around 2,000 to 1,500 years before Christ. Hold on 1 second, y'all. Hold on 1 second. I'm answering a text from somebody very important. Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. I'm going to read this. You can't do that to me. You can't do that to me, bro. You can't do that to me. All right. Okay. So, getting back to the point. Not only among women, but even among young men. Young men are taught that if they don't have a six-pack abs, if they're not at the gym, one thing that's said to young men or said to men in dealing with the outward appearance of things, which goes back to pagan worship and goes back to pagan ideals, is that curls is for the girls. That a man's supposed to be in the gym doing a lot of arm curls so he gets big arms, so he gets big biceps, so that he can attract the ladies, so he can attract the girls. So where even among a lot of young men, their self-esteem in this society is built upon their looks, that if and the external outward appearance, to where if they don't have the latest shoes or partaking in the latest fad of like what everybody else is doing, that there's something wrong with if they don't have, again, like the six-pack abs, they don't have the arms. And then that was for when I was in school. I'm over 50 years old. I'm 54 years old. Today, and back when I was in school, back in the 70s and the 80s, we did not have as easy of access to pornography like what is available to kids today. So you can look and see where kids today, they will even look at their genitalia and not want to keep shaving their genitalia, shaving the hair. I'm talking about young men, women too, but they want to shave the genitalia because that's what they see in porn videos. That's what they see in pornography, that it's supposed to make them look bigger. And now their self-esteem is based on something that nature gave them. They feel insufficient because from what they see on media, what they see on websites, they don't measure up. So now the mindset, so I've got to be like everybody else. So I gotta be quote unquote normal. I got to be, quote, unquote, I have to measure up, even among young men and men. That now, where God comes back and says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 4, that a man should be commended according to his wisdom. It's not about a person having the wisdom of how to please God and to do the thing that God wants. That, you know, it said in Ecclesiastes, that I've seen servants riding on horses and princes walking on the earth. That in this, today's society, a straight idiot can be a millionaire, can make millions of dollars being an idiot for just making jokes, and sometimes not even good jokes. And they can be esteemed as something great and good in this society, but people who truly have the wisdom are not esteemed. But that's nothing new. Paul went through the same thing. He said, y'all reigned as kings. Y'all reigned as princes. Now, y'all are wise. Y'all supposed to know, and we're here trying to do the word, the will of the Father, and even to this present hour, we both labor, working with our own hands, have no certain dwelling place. We're esteemed as dunk. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 8 also. I don't want to go into that rabbit hole. But the purpose of me putting these classes together is that we really have adopted and have seeped in, and we've been corrupted by the ways of this society, that we really do imprint what is acceptable in this society, even to some of the smallest details, as part of the worship of God. And that we're not realizing that it was some of these very same things. Attention in the details. The devil's in the details. It's some of these very same things that the Israelites, our forefathers, did not pay attention to, that led to us going astray, that led to us really going off and away from the Father. And that this is what we've got to become aware of, and that this is the purpose of this class. This is the purpose of me putting this series, this particular series together, and that we got to make sure, again, we're in episode 16, that are we really, is our faith really based in the scriptures? And I'm always going to be ringing that bell. You know, I'm going to get that soundbite next also. I'm always going to be ringing that bell. I'm always going to be beating that type of dead horse. What you believe in based in the scriptures, or is that what you came up with? Is what we believe and our works and how we're doing things, is it based in the scriptures, or is it based on what we learn from generations of our own people who didn't know the Bible? Generations of our own people where, again, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, 26, 27, that the mystery has been hid for ages and from generations, that we have not known the ways of God. We've known the ways of religion, of whatever religion we might participate. Our slave masters imprinted upon their slaves, on the people, whatever authority, whatever city, town, place we were in, that they allowed or oppressed was pressed upon us as well. Us being kept illiterate on purpose for 300 years, 350 years, until we were very deeply indoctrinated with their way of looking at things. But even that movie, we read the Bible, we look at the Bible, like we can come back and so Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 2, through the morning, the gates thereof language, they are black to the ground, which tells you the Jews are black. The word Jew being an abbreviation for Judah. So it says Judah mourning, meaning the Jews are mourning. The real Jews are mourning. They don't own 90% of the world's wealth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. And the real Jews have no leadership, because the gate represents protection. You put gate around the city. You put gate around your house. For your gates to be weak, that represents the leadership. Our leadership is weak, trying to get us to vote, trying to get us to be a Mason, trying to get us to be a Democrat or a Republican, trying to get us to be a liberal, trying to get us to join some type of work union, trying to get us to invest in CDs and bonds or whatever. But not invest into the actual word of God, that our leadership is weak. We really have no leadership. And it says, and they are black unto the ground, meaning we're different shades of brown, all right? From a deep dark chocolate brown to a light almond pecan sandy brown, we're different shades of brown. So we can read that, but because we've been so indoctrinated that the Jews are white, Christians are white, Jesus is white, God is white, the angels are white, Abraham is white, Jacob is white, Isaac is white, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are white, Paul is white, everybody's white. That if somebody can now actually read scriptures that show color, we have now, damn near, a natural disposition. That's not talking about color. That's talking about their emotions. That's about how they're feeling. And we have just been so indoctrinated that we can, that this deceit, no, it's referring to their color. It is referring to their emotions, but you can see it's talking about their color also. But we've been so brainwashed from the identity and the culture of God, we can't see it. So from examples like that, there's many other practices and many other things, like in St. John chapter 4, verse 22, that I quote a lot in verse 23, that ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. That there's a lot of practices that we keep and that we do besides the obvious ones. Besides the obvious, as we just came out of St. Patrick's Day yesterday. Besides the obvious Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. Besides the obvious Mother's Day, Father's Day. Besides those obvious ones, that there's many more things that we give ourselves over to that are actually going against God. So we want to make sure that what we're building, the house we're building, is really built on the scriptures. And that's what this whole series has been a part and is building towards. And hopefully that's making sense. All right? And just to answer the question, as much as the scripture says beauty is vain and favor is deceitful, that belongs to both men and women. All right? It says seek not a woman for her beauty. And it says the same thing similar about a man, that we should be looking for the spirit of a person. We should be looking for the qualities. Do they know how to serve God as a person? Do they know how to lead us to God and make decisions that are about God? Not because this nigga can dance like Usher. This nigga can dance like, I don't even know if dancing is a thing among teenagers today. From the TikTok dancer or whatever it might be, or he's an influencer because he can play video games real good. And that's why he's worthy of your attention, because he's got over 1 million likes. He's got over 10,000 followers. That's why he should be paid attention to. Or for a woman who for how she dresses, that's why she should be paid attention to. No, that is all wrong. That is all wrong. So we ended with the scripture on Monday. I want to pick up with it, but we're going to dive a little bit more into it. All right? So I'm going to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. The book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. I want to read this verse in different versions of the Bible. For the most part, we stick to the King James Bible because we know King James himself did not write the Bible, but that he had 54 actual top interpreters, linguists, actually translate the Bible from Hebrew, Greek, and Latin into English. I'd like to read now some of the other versions just to try and help people hopefully get a comprehension. All right? So in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, only because I got these versions in alphabetical order, we're going to read these in alphabetical order, all right? From the Apostolic Bible Polyglot. Now, Brother Fizzle, I'm going to tell you this also. Over the years, I've been in this work for over 30-something years, going on 35 years. And, yeah, March makes our 14th anniversary that we've been doing Blog Talk. But we've been in this work for over 30-something years. Brother Sisters, the amount of Bibles I've collected over the years, the amount of dictionaries I've collected over the years, reference books over the years to try to help prove what the Bible is saying, try to help understand what the Bible is saying, is needed. It is needed. All right? So I'm just throwing it out there that to check out some of the other translations of the Bible, but it's not just dealing with the color, I've highly recommend it. I'm throwing it out there. And I got this from checking out the brothers at Sakari. Those brothers are experts at debating. And for a lot of people that would try and bring up other versions of the Bible to try and debate them, these brothers show, oh, shit, we can still use your version of the Bible to prove the same point, sometimes even better. So for Proverbs 19, verse 27, from the Apostolic Bible Polyglot, this is what it says from this Bible. It says, a son ceasing to guard the instruction of a father shall meditate upon saying evil. Did y'all catch that? Here it says, so a son who stops guarding the instruction he gets from his father shall meditate upon sayings that are evil. Let that resonate just for a second. I need to get like the I guess the Undertaker like 12 gongs on a clock. So let this meditate. Let it resonate for a second. All right. That's the apostolic Bible Father God. Now check this out. I mean, it's gonna go into this from a favorite version, Bible. All right. This is what it says. My son, when you cease to hear the instruction, you only go astray from the words of knowledge. When it gets to the point you think you know every damn thing, you're going to go away from the true words of knowledge, from God's knowledge. And from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, what is it God's people are destroyed for? A lack of God's knowledge. So when we stop listening to instructions, God's instructions, and as we're in this part of the series, we stop listening to God's opinions. We stop listening to God's directions. We stop listening to God's determinations of what God determines to be wicked, evil, off, what God determines to be correct, right, and proper. We stop listening to God. We stop listening to his instructions. We're going to go astray from the words of knowledge. And then we're going to do what? According to the apostolic Bible Father God, we're going to meditate upon evil sayings. We're going to meditate on what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is thinking, and not the words of God, not the knowledge that we need. All right? From the American Standard Version, it says, I love this also, cease, my son, to hear instruction only to err from the words of knowledge. If it's going to get to, stop listening to the instructions that will have us err from God's knowledge. If someone's trying to instruct you, like the serpent did Eve in the garden, to where the serpent presented to Eve something that was pleasant and wise to her, but it went against God. And she wanted to bring in that madness to her husband. And then he, wanting to please her, followed right along, to where those instructions went against God, went against the words of God. That's how this can get, brothers and sisters. That's how this can get. That we stop listening to God's instruction. We stop hearing God's voice, God's instructions, and we got somebody else's voice in our head. We have Eve had the serpent's voice in her head. Not her husband's voice, not God's voice. She let the serpent's voice come into her head. So now, what he presented was pleasant to her eyes. What he presented seemed like it was wisdom. So now that voice stood out, and not her husband's voice, who was giving what? The voice of God, who was teaching God's voice. Then he listened to his woman, who was listening to the serpent. He started ignoring the words of God. He started listening to and meditating on words that were evil. Well, maybe it's not really that bad. Maybe God is not being as transparent as he should be, and there's something else to it. There's something deeper to it. Now he's meditating on these things, and now we're here. We've been kicked out of paradise. All right? For the Bible in basic English, for Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, it says, a son who no longer gives attention to teaching is turned away from the words of knowledge. So, we as the children of Israel, the sons and daughters of God, a son who no longer gives attention to teaching is turned away from the words of knowledge. That now is going to make sense. As I was putting the series together, it's going to make sense that to build up a child's esteem, let's focus on the outward appearance. Whether it's a boy or a girl. Let's have them focus on those things. Not on, like, with Abraham. God, why? One of the reasons God trusted Abraham was what? The brother tells his father, I see him online. The brother tells his father, showed us this. Because Abraham is going to teach his children's children's children the ways of God. That's why Abraham was called the father of faith. And as Abraham's faith in God's word got tested, he kept passing the test because he kept believing in God's word. And he taught his children to believe in God's word. He taught his children's children's children. And just on that note, brothers and sisters, I know I'm throwing a lot out there. But remember, if Abraham was going to teach his children's children's children, Abraham's child was Isaac. Isaac's child was Jacob. And then Jacob had the 12 tribes. If I remember the timeline that was put together, do y'all realize that Abraham was alive for like 15 years of Joseph's life? Joseph. Abraham was around for like 15 years of Joseph's life. Joseph wasn't sold into captivity into Egypt until he was 17. Think about that. Now, I'm going to go back and fact check my sources and my calendar just to make sure on that. But I believe Abraham was alive for 15 years. I'm sorry. Abraham was definitely alive for 15 years of Jacob's life, for sure. Jacob got taught by Abraham. And remember, when you go back to the timeline from Genesis chapter 5, Shem was alive during the time of Jacob. Shem. I might have it wrong. He was definitely alive during the time of Abraham. Shem. The one who lived 100 years before the flood, one of the 8 survivors of the flood, lived 15 years of Abraham's life. If I got the numbers correct. So for Abraham, that he was going to call the father of faith, that he's going to teach his children's children's children? Come on, y'all. The ways of God. We'll read the Brenton Study Bible now. For Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, the Brenton Study Bible. It says, a son who ceases to attend to the instruction of a father will cherish evil designs. But since when I read this, the reason I wanted to bring this out in class, this one put me on the floor. This one put me on the floor. And I got a few sound effects. A son who ceases to attend to the instruction of a father will cherish evil designs. Cherish. And that Cool in the Gang. The life you live, we should cherish the life. Cherish the, no. A son who ceases to attend to the instruction of a father will cherish evil designs. That's from the Brenton study, the Brenton Study Bible of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. All right? From the Behrend Study Bible, for Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, it says, if you cease to hear instruction, my son, you will stray from the word of knowledge. Get to the point where you stop listening to the words of instruction, where you can't be taught. You're missing know-it-all. You know everything. You will stray from the words of knowledge. You will cherish evil designs. You will meditate on evil sayings. Come on, y'all. From the Darby Study Bible. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction which causes us to stray from the word. I'm going to read that again. From the Darby Study Bible, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction which causes to stray from the words of knowledge. So the instructions on how to give a person self-esteem, cease, my son, to hear the instruction which causes to stray from the words of knowledge. Whose knowledge? God's knowledge. Those instructions, yeah, there is a wisdom of this world. There's a wisdom that comes from the serpent. We get that from Genesis, the third chapter. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction which causes to stray from the words of knowledge. Whose knowledge? Who knows better? Come on. Wouldn't God, who created everything, know what's best? Who is God? Ain't God who had a blueprint for everything they gave to Christ and the angels? Subsequently, he gave to Moses, even in building the temple and the tabernacle. It was all done by a blueprint. Wouldn't he know what he said is good or bad, right or wrong, righteous or evil? Wouldn't God be the expert on knowing right from wrong? And again, the root word of knowledge being what? Know? How do we get to a point where we think God don't know? A lot of times it'll be said to the messengers that are bringing God's knowledge and God's message, that the messengers don't know what a person's been through. So how could you say something like that? How could you read those scriptures and bring out those things, how God feels, and you know what I've been through in my life? You know what's happened to me. Well, don't you know that God said these type of things are going to happen because we went astray from his words? You don't know that? You want so bad for somebody to know you. Getting to know you. You want somebody so bad to know you. When are we going to know God? From the Douay Rheims Bible. Cease not, O my son, to hear instruction. And be not ignorant of the words of knowledge. From the Douay Rheims Bible, cease not, O my son, to hear instruction, and be not ignorant of the words of knowledge. We know the word ignorant means don't be untaught. Don't be unlearned. Do not be unfamiliar with the words of knowledge because you stop listening to instructions. And we know that our generations, I know as much as I do love my parents, as much as I never really knew my grandfather on my dad's side, never met my grandmother on my dad's side, I was more familiar with my grandfather and grandmother on my mom's side. And I knew them. Like Papa and Granny loved fishing. Papa was a true lumberjack. That's what he did for a profession, among other things. He was a lumberjack, outdoorsman, hunting, fishing. I remember Papa had the big-ass garden, and Papa had his chair. And Papa smoked them cigarettes. Those are black Moors, like Henson and Hedges. I remember Papa, and he always wore his blue coveralls. So I'm familiar with them. As much as I cherish them and had a connection with them, I had to get to a point where I realized they lived in a time where God had his back turned to the whole nation of Israel. So they were living in times where God was so upset with the nation of Israel. This was time God needed to chill out from us. So they didn't get a chance to know God. They didn't learn survival tactics. Like, I remember my mom telling me how Papa, my grandparent, my mom was born in Louisiana, where her parents were from. My Papa and my granny from Louisiana, where they get the families got land and stuff out there. I remember her telling me, and remember even showing me the hut, if you want to call it, that she was born in, my mother. That she hated when she learned to hate squirrel, y'all, because Papa would go out hunting and he would kill a squirrel and bring him home. They had to be skinned and gutted and cleaned. And a lot of times from the ammunition that he used, that even after you skin the squirrel and clean the squirrel up, that even after you cook the squirrel, there would still be little pellets of the ammunition that as you was biting or eating the food, you might get one of the pellets of ammunition in the squirrel meat. And she hated that. She said that she learned to really, that she hated that. But guess what? That's the only meat they had. She told me about how they had to eat squirrel and possum, raccoon, in order to put food on the table. And you know catfish. You know it was a lot of catfish. And I remember being at Papa and Granny's house when I was young, and they loved fishing. We would go fishing, and it would be a lot of catfish. And I remember the difference between some of the fishes that we caught. Some fishes did have scales. Even I didn't really, you know, I didn't associate it at the time. And we would have to, like, we get some of the fish, and we get a knife, and we would scale. We'd have to scrape the scales off those fish. But in the catfish, I do remember this vividly. The catfish didn't have scales. They had skin. And I remember watching them at this one time peel the skin off the fish and still put in a bucket of water, and the damn thing was still alive. And I was mesmerized by this. I didn't know whether to be disgusted as much as I was in shock and I was just in awe that this catfish was skinned and the damn thing was still swimming in the bucket of water, because we had to skin it, as opposed to the other fish that had to be scaled. They had to take the knife and scrape the scales off of it. I remember that at Papa Manny's house. And chitlins. Ooh. That damn 5-gallon bucket of chitlins. And you had to clean the chitlins, because the chitlins are pig's intestines that got everything that should be in a pig's intestines, to where these pig's intestines would need to be cleaned. And it would have the house smelling like straight boo-boo. But after Granny got done, they cleaned all the damn things. My mom and my aunties had to clean them. They would clean them. And then there would be a pot where they boil the chitlins. There was a pot of fried chitlins, the section where they would fry it. Oh, my goodness. The fried chitlins with some hot sauce and some ketchup. Then you had to boil. I really didn't feel the texture of the boiled chitlins. I really couldn't get with it. But my cousins loved it. Throw some hot sauce in them bad boys and go to town. And that was our family time. When we would go and visit my grandparents in Flagstaff, Arizona, every summer, that there was going to be that meal that Big Mama cooked, that Granny cooked, and sweet potato pies, pecan pie, forget about it. And we all come together and eat. Those were some good times. But now to come back and understand that those things went against God. As much as it had a sentimental value to me, I had to understand those things are against God. And no, I can't partake in those things no longer. No, I'm not going to be there. Because that stuff goes against God. remember the argument that my mom gave me was, how come your grandfather, who's been in church a lot longer than you've even been on this earth, how come he never seen these things? And I had to show her, and it went over, right over her head, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. Because there's been a mystery that's been hid for ages and for generations, but now it's being made manifest to his saints. God turned his back on the nation of Israel because of things we're already doing. So for him to turn his back means there was no protection. That means you got to find your own way to try to survive, because you've been rejecting my instructions. We've been rejecting God's voice. Then now I got to the point where y'all going to go through this without me. And we did. And having to come to that acceptance. So, reading on now. In Proverbs 19, verse 27, from the English Standard Version. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Now, this is one of the ones I want to get to here. From the Exegesis Ready Research Bible. Yes, even the word exegesis lets you know this is something deep. But, you know, this is something for you. Like, there's some scholarly type stuff right here. The Exegesis Ready Research Bible for Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction, the discipline that causes to err inadvertently from the words or the sayings of knowledge. I should have all type of sound effects on that one. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction, discipline, that causes to err inadvertently from the words or the sayings of knowledge. Cease. Stop. All right? The Good News Bible. The Good News Bible. My child, when you stop hearing, you will soon neglect what you already know. Ooh. This is from the Good News Bible. The Good News Bible is the Bible you get if you go to jail. It'll be the Good News Bible. This is what it says. My child, when you stop learning, you will soon neglect what you already know when it comes to the ways of God. When you stop learning, we will neglect what we already know, that God hates, what God can't stand, and everything else will start to make sense. From the International Standard Version, of Proverbs, chapter 29, make sure, verse 27. For Proverbs chapter 29, verse 27, from the International Standard Version, it reads, my son, if you stop listening to instruction, you will stray from the principles of knowledge. I want to play every sound effect I got in my library. From the International Standard Version for Proverbs 1927. My son, if you stop listening to instruction, you will stray from the principles of knowledge. The principles. And now we'll meditate on evil things. We'll think of evil, we'll listen to designs. We'll listen to ignorant words. From the Jewish Publication Society. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. So they get that part right. All right, the Jewish Publication Society, cool. As far as the King James. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. From the Jubilee Bible. For Proverbs 19:27. Proverbs 19:27 from the Jubilee Bible. Cease, my son, to hear the teaching that induces one to deviate from the reasons of wisdom. I almost wanted to get up and dance a jig to this one right here. From the Jubilee Bible, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son,
to hear the teaching that induces one to deviate from the reasons of wisdom. Again, for what we call self-esteem, for what society labels self-esteem, we were supposed to have our self-esteem built on how well we knew God. Like Daniel said that Meshach and Abednego, like Joseph, and his bondage in Egypt. Like Abraham with his trials and tribulations. Like Christ with his trials and tribulations. Sure. Like no matter what he was going through, he was not going to stop serving God. No matter what the circumstance was, no matter what event was happening in his life, and now he wants to find comfort. He wants to find some ease. I'm not going to stray from the words of God, the words of his knowledge,
the words of what he says. The discipline, as we read that in one of these versions, from the Exegesis, Ready Research Bible, which said, cease, my son, to hear the instruction or the discipline that causes to err inadvertently from the words, sayings of knowledge. From Glenn's Literal Translation Bible. Green's Literal Translation. It says, my son, cease to hear the chastening, and you will err from the words of knowledge. This is Green's Literal Translation. My son, cease to hear the chastening of when you're doing wrong according to what God says. When you get to the point where I'm not hearing that, I'm going to do it my way anyway. I'm not dealing with it. I'm not trying to hear that. When you cease to hear the chastening, and you will err from the words of knowledge. Come on. Come on now. I have a few other translations here that have been saying some of the same things. From the Literal Standard Version, this is different from Green's Literal Version. From the Literal Standard Version, the LSV, the Literal Standard Version, it says, cease, my son, to hear instruction, to err from sayings of knowledge. From the World English Bible, it says, if you stop listening to instruction, my son, you will stray from the words of knowledge. And from Young's Literal Translation of the Bible, it says, cease, my son, to hear instruction, to err from the sayings of knowledge. So, yeah, I took this time. I've seen I only got like maybe 10 minutes left, 7 minutes left or whatever in this class. I really don't want to move on from here in this class. And now we did take some time to go into Proverbs 7, 19 verse 27. That an effort to try and help us realize, or even just pause for a second. Am I listening, or am I really following the words of God, or do I have somebody else's voice in my head? Do I have somebody else's principles in my head? Because you know what we hear a lot, what we say a lot is, well, what's wrong with this? But why can't I, or why can't it be that that'd be some of the first justifications that we'll start to use? That, and not realizing that is getting us to go astray from the words of knowledge, from God's judgment, from God's determinations from God's opinion. It'd be those seedlings, those seeds that be dropped, that would have a person be like, you want to say no. That's the text, and I just want to check this text. All right, so those would be some of the beginnings that a person would tell themselves. Well, I don't see. Or why is this? Why can't I? I don't see what's wrong with. Did you catch that? I don't see what's wrong with. You're being too literal. You're being too extreme. God knows what I've been through in my life. So I don't think God would mind if I do this for myself. Sisters, when we say things like that, is that the example Christ left for us, where it is said, no man gets to the Father but by Christ? And the other, I guess, chess move, and that is, well, nobody's perfect. And I guess that's why it's so pressing that we believe that Christ was born of an angel. So that gives us the justification excuse not to follow his example, because he don't know what it's like to go what we went through. To follow that lie that the angel got Mary pregnant. So that Christ, that never really fails or understands what we're going through, because he's always been divine. Which goes contrary to what Hebrews tells us, that he was made under the law like as we are, made like it to his brethren. It behooved him to be made. Let me get it. Let me get it. Hebrews chapter 7. I got a little bit of time left. Hebrews, where we at? But I got to do this too. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 2. For Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Verse 17, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, and things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Do we read this or do we like to stray from the words of knowledge so we can meditate upon evil things? So that we can meditate on evil designs. The evil part being, now I don't have to work on trying to follow Christ because of what I've been through and how I can go by what I think is right. I'm not justified in that. Obviously, that don't make no sense. When we go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Come on, brothers and sisters. I mean, some of the things that we give ourselves excuses for, we don't really examine ourselves whether we really be in the faith of the Bible. We have faith in whoever it is we might be listening to, but not the faith in the Bible. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. And we know that for Christ to be in us, Christ told us in St. John chapter 10 or chapter 15 that his words must abide in us. His word must remain in us in order for Christ to be with us. But are we examining ourselves whether we're in the faith? And am I still believing in the scriptures, or am I going by something else? Am I being led astray by something else? So now, am I really building my house upon a rock? Is my foundation, what I'm standing on, really built on the example of Christ and actually following Christ? Is my belief really rooted in my belief of who Christ is, or what Christ said, or what Christ did? That he left me an example to follow his steps. Not this thing of Christ died so I don't have to. Christ suffered so I don't have to. Last scripture for today, Philippians chapter 1. Verse 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says, for unto you it is given, and in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So the same about this, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not willing to suffer for him. Well, then you're missing the whole entire boat.
Yeah, you're going to miss the ocean. Your boat is still somewhere in a warehouse.
Nowhere near the water. And your ass just jumped out overboard and hit straight concrete. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I guess this should be the last one here. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. With that being said, I'm going to call an end to today's show. As the travelers has expired. Thank you for tuning in. Today is Wednesday, right? Please check out Streaming Wisdom, Houston, Texas, our YouTube channel tonight. They have class starting at 7. And then the Sport of Truth in San Antonio, at, their YouTube class starting at 7:30 at Sport of Truth, San Antonio, Texas. The both classes are available for you to check out. Get this word in you, brothers and sisters. It behooves us to get this word in us. So with that, my name is Mashaba. Hopefully join us tomorrow, Thursday, for Chapter 5, for your information. And with that, I'm going to say,
should my
Yeah.